Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. We are headed into the, I think it's around the third week of January now, and this will air January, I believe.
January 20th, maybe?
20th.
Yeah.
Year's going by. Here we go.
2025. It's going to be a good year. I believe it's going to be a good year. Seeing some beautiful things on the horizon.
Yep. Lots of exciting things. And of course, you know, we're in January and you're still in Christmas. So
yes, you guys are going to have to just be gracious and ignore my background for a little while because we are taping this in December and I'm not taking the tree down early just to have a Christmas-free background.
Well, it's beautiful and Christmas is beautiful and we love the holiday. We've learned how to have great margin and we've been able to meet it and stay with it. And it's been a joyful time. Hopefully it is for you as well and Dan and the family. And
we are having a great time. Yes.
And we do, we have a fully decorated house and we do because we appreciate it so much. We don't just have it decorated, but we actually take the time to enjoy it, you know, and to, you know, like when you're in your room there, you know, looking at your beautiful tree and enjoying that tree and other things in that room and just appreciating the beauty of it all, you know.
Yes.
And,
And
that's why we do it. We don't do it to impress anybody. We really do it because we actually enjoy it.
Yeah, we enjoy it. But I will be honest, we also do it because there are so many people that love to come to our house at Christmas.
Yes, true.
We even just, you know, this is mid-December when we're taping this. We had our entire neighborhood over for a Christmas party last night with all the kids and had activities set up for them. And the comment every time they came in is just how much they love to come to our house at Christmas. There is, and it's like, you know, I always say there is an anointing on our house that people, you know, our neighbors, a few of them are Christians, but most of them are not. Yet they walk in and they feel the peace and the joy and they love, they said it feels like Christmas once they've stepped into our house. And so there's a sweetness where it is for our own enjoyment. It is also in a lot of ways a gift. You know, what the decorating we do outside and all of that is out of wanting to share an overflow of the joy, I guess is a great way to express it, right?
Yep.
So that others get to enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And people that do appreciate it. We have the same thing. We've had a lot of people over and had a big party. We had 28 people with our local leaders in Abide Ministry and some of their family. And it was just a great time. We did karaoke. It was really funny. But they did comment that it's a joy to come because, you know, Linda, you do such a wonderful job of decorating the house, you know, and we love it, you know, so it is part of it. So
even in that, it's a blessed to be a blessing, right?
Yep. Well, last time we were talking about surrender of our will to receive God's will. And we were talking about the story of Peter and the disciples where Jesus said, this is in Matthew 16. Verses 13 to 28, who do people say that I am? You're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah, Elijah. And he said, well, who do you say I am? By the way, it's an interesting question that in essence, what do you believe certain people are saying about what Christianity is all about?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll say, well, what do you think Christianity is all about?
Right.
And he said, I'm going to build my church on hearing God's voice, believing what God says, believing what God is going to give you as part of this kingdom life. And it's going to wind up with the spiritual authority to bind off the work of Satan, which is everywhere in the world. And you're going to be part of that. And you can't be exempt from it, but you can release and bind up his power. And then release the power of heaven to deliver what I'm going to do with you. And think of it really simply. If I'm going to be at that place, which is kind of necessary for me to live this life, because we're dealing with principalities and powers, we're dealing with opposition, we're dealing with roadblocks, we're dealing with trouble in the world. And I can't solve my own problem by just being smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So even seeking God's wisdom isn't about how I can be smarter in dealing with it. He said, no. It's about you being with me in the kingdom on my path for you that will give you the ability to bind away the work of the enemy and release the supernatural that I will do, and you'll experience my grand covenant phenomenal life that only I can deliver to you, because that's what the essence of salvation is all about. So really it's, well, then if I'm going to follow his will, how do I learn to walk with him on his path where this would be true? And Jesus said, that's what I want to build my church on. By the way, as you think of the first century church, that's what it was all about. They weren't changing the culture. They were receiving the power of God, and people said, I'd like to learn. I'd like to be part of that. Hey, great. Come on, and I'll teach you that. And that's what we're called to do. So, hey, Peter, you are a spiritual person. It's been revealed to you, and you got it. Okay, now he says, let me help you understand something about this. So let's reread verses, I think it's what, 20, is it 20 or 21 through 28?
28.
Yeah.
From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, and you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
So Peter hears about, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed, and then be resurrected. He takes him aside. So he's not doing this, by the way, in front of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes him aside. And what does he do? What does he say? It says he rebukes him.
Yeah. Can you imagine having just the boldness of rebuking Jesus?
Yeah.
Where did that come from, right?
Yeah. Now think about rebuking. Is that not only did he say, I'm not going to let this happen to you. He basically said to Jesus, when you rebuke somebody, is stop saying that. I want you to stop saying this. I want you to know that I am not going to allow this to happen. And you, what you're saying is wrong. Stop it. So it wasn't just, yeah, I'm gonna make sure that you don't happen. He said, I want you to stop thinking that way and processing that way, and we're not going that way. And what you're doing is not right. So it's a pretty strong statement.
Right.
Okay. And what does Jesus, how does he respond? Get behind me what?
Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah. He said, you just actually stepped out of the kingdom. By the way, you were just in the kingdom, hearing God's voice and very spiritual. By your reaction to something that I said, you just stepped out of it. Why? You decided on your own how to interpret this and what to do with it. And we would say, you know, Peter, do you think that's a good thing to do? And he'd say, absolutely, that's a good thing to do. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You're following Satan now because it's very simple. You don't have the things of God in mind, but you have the things of man,
right?
Of what you think is a good idea. He said, so it's the following my will is kind of a simple thing. That are you going to follow me or are you going to follow self, even under your good plans or your good ideas that you think is right? And he says, you forgot something. He said, Peter, I made a statement and it didn't sit well with you. It didn't make sense to you. It didn't fit your paradigm. The mistake you made was you then decided on your own what to do with what I said. As opposed to the mistake you made was what? You didn't come and ask me.
Right.
And you didn't say, which we said, it's okay, by the way, that you completely don't understand this or that it doesn't make any sense to you. Or how is this going to work with our view of who the Messiah is? And I'm struggling with this. No problem. He said, it's not a problem that you're struggling with it. It's the problem that you said you're going to act on it without what? Asking me.
Right. It's funny. As you say this, this is a little bit of a sideline from what we're talking about, but it goes with it. So I won't go long on it. But I can't help but picture, just as you were saying all that, conversations with friends. And Jesus and Peter were friends, right? They were. And how many times, like, you'll hear a friend saying something that, you know, in today's language would be negative talk, or they're looking at it the wrong way, or, you know, dwelling on something that shouldn't be. And our go-to response so often as a friend is, don't think that way. Think positive. Come at them, you know, that shut that thought down, instead of what you're talking about. Peter's thought should have been, even from a friend standpoint, there is, let's see what God's saying about this. Tell me more about what God's saying, and not going so quickly to shutting down the negative, which I know we're not talking about friendships right now, but this does speak so clearly to how we help friends process things and how we process things alongside them. When sometimes God is saying, yeah, there's something really hard coming. It's not that person is dwelling on the negative. They're actually heeding and hearing a warning from God. And our invitation is to step in and see what God's really saying on that, and help them walk into instruction, not to shut it down and tell them quit thinking that way.
Or that I'm struggling with this.
Right.
And we say, well, you should. Mm-hmm. Here, let me help you solve it.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of struggle with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go process that. See,
yeah.
It's not a good or a bad thing. It is. Well, you know, I've been dealing actually with somebody today that is coming from a place of burden.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing, I'm not really enjoying doing.
Right.
Work. I'm not enjoying my work. Okay. So I gave them some scripture, and they, interesting enough, went to the should.
Mm.
Is okay. Well, I'm going to change, and I'm going to do this, and I should do this. And here's my answer. And I've jumped to solution.
Right.
And I said, back up. This isn't about solution yet. And you've evaluated that I shouldn't feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to solve that feeling, because I'll solve it by doing something different. I said, wait a minute. I said, the way you feel isn't good or bad. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay that you struggle
and
with that.
And it's an indicator of what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Does God want you to stay there? No. Does he want to have you live in the kingdom of God? Yes. Peace and joy. Yes. It's okay. I said, why don't we just back up a step and just write down, what are you burdened by? Why don't you like what you're doing? And what are you worried about? What are you concerned about of a variety of things? I said, you have a whole bunch of things. I said, write them all down. Don't evaluate them as good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But what we will do is, instead of you deciding what to do with it, let's go find out what God has to say about it. And he'll guide you into the best, into his will, into the covenant. And he's got to start with the struggle. So if mm-hmm. Peter would have said, Jesus, what you're saying really bothers me. This really is concerning me. And I don't get any of what you just said. And I know you said it. I don't understand anything you said. And it really bothers me. Mm-hmm. And as far as I'm concerned, I would like us not to go that direction. And if he would have said, could you help me with this? See, Jesus would have explained it further and deeper, and actually given him some understanding.
Right.
Of, well, let me help you understand what this all means. And then see, Peter never went that direction. He mm-hmm. didn't say, help me understand it. He just said, I'm gonna make sure it doesn't happen.
Right.
Get behind me, Satan, because you're not seeking and struggling, going through the struggle with me to help me help you understand this.
Mm-hmm.
You've jumped to a solution that is not my will.
Right.
And he said, that's problematic. If you mm-hmm. follow that out, interesting enough, think about it. And think in this case, directly, you're actually following the will of Satan. Why? Because Satan doesn't want me to do this.
Satan doesn't want that. Right.
So you're actually joining him in thwarting my will.
Hmm.
Now, it was a big deal because of the death and resurrection, but it's the same thing for us personally.
Right.
Is that, well, if you go and you follow your will versus my will, and you thwart my will, which mm-hmm. you can do by what? Not following it. You're actually joining Satan in his will, because he's trying to thwart my will.
Right. That's a pretty heavy thing to think about, you know, when we see, if we will allow ourselves to see things that black and white, truly, that we're either in God's will, working with him, or we are at enmity with him.
Yeah.
There's no in between, that you're kind of just doing a little bit of whatever. At any point in time, you are one or the other, right?
Yeah. And think about, in a sense, why this is the characteristic of the church is, they're doing a lot of things, but they're not really doing God's will. That's why there's no fruit, and it's a mess, and there's no power, and people are discouraged and wondering, how come God doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is, well, because you're not allowing me to deliver my will because you're not walking with me.
Right, right.
You got to be with me. And then he says, so he makes a statement. So Peter, you get that? You get that piece? Okay. So let me help you understand exactly what I'm talking about. If, and remember, if you hear a word if, what does that mean? This is conditional.
It's conditional and there's a then. So there's a conditional promise at the other side of it.
That's it. So if anyone, he says, wants to come after me.
Mm-hmm.
If you really have a heart to come and follow me, then here's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, deny self.
Right.
You're going to have to surrender your will. You're going to have to go through Gethsemane and you're going to have to release your will and truly have a heart to follow my will. And the only way you can do it, it's not, I have a will and I'm going to decide if I want to follow my will or your will. He said, you won't even receive my will unless you surrender first your will. When? All the time. On what?
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yep.
And see, it's not a permanent thing for us. It's not a...
And it's something we have to practice moment by moment.
Yeah.
In all kinds of situations, right?
Yeah. And you never solve the problem of the flesh. Your flesh never gets any better. He says, you're going to have to daily, moment by moment, surrender your will. And then take up the cross. In the English, it says take up your cross, but it's not your cross. It's his cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's take up the cross. And a couple things. I overcame the penalty. I released you that have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you the opportunity to walk with me.
Right.
And I am conquering and putting to death your flesh as you join me in the work that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is why we are supposed to practice communion all the time.
Right.
Is, hey, remember, it's you putting to death your flesh and eating my flesh in the resurrection and my blood so that we can live out the life.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so you deny self. I'm willing to surrender my will to yours. Okay, now you're with me. You're in the kingdom, which is what I've given you privilege of doing. Now, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does it mean to follow him? Find out, discover, receive my will.
And walk it out step by step, empowered by him.
Empowered by you. And the neat thing is that it's not a universal place.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, as you look at your 2025, is that unique to you? And is that different than Linda and my 2022?
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, and that's the whole beautiful thing of God's love and sovereignty and ability is that I have a will.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a generic will. It's unique to you that I gear toward you,
mm-hmm.
but it's my will toward you. And if you're going to follow me, you got to discover my will toward you, which is going to be spectacular. And I'm going to deliver it. And the process is the same for everybody. You have to deny self.
Right.
You got to take up the cross and follow me.
It's funny as you say that. I even think it's interesting when you go back to the beginning of that passage that we talked about a few days ago, where Jesus starts out, who do you say that I am? Who does everyone say I am? Who do other people say I am? And then he moves it to who do you say I am? And right there is what you're talking about as well. So you see that already set up is moving it from the applying to everyone to you personally. It has to go from head knowledge to heart knowledge, you know, from what you've learned about, what you've talked about, what you have even in community seen and bore witness to, okay, now how does that come in and how do you personally step into this and join me? And that all comes back to surrender, right?
That's right. Yes. And see, interesting enough, nobody can surrender for me.
Right.
Even my spouse can't surrender for me. So she can say, well, I'm surrendered walking with God. But in order for me to join that process, I can't say, well, because you surrender, then I can do it. He said, no.
Right.
You have to join that with your surrender. And by the way, if both of you surrender, I'm going to use both of you to determine my will, which will be unity.
Mm-hmm.
And unity, not with each other, but with the Holy Spirit. And what a privilege that is. And that's why he says it's critical for you and your spouse, you and your good friend, if you're single, to walk together by both of you surrendering and seeking my will. He said a community around you, your inner circle, has to have that same heart. And if you do that, it'll be way easier for you to say, because why? I can say to Linda, and she can say to me, and we're going to talk about this next time a little bit more. Well, we're processing, but here's a question that Linda will ask me. Are you neutral?
Mm-hmm.
The truth is she observes I'm not.
Right.
Why? Because I'm pushing my will. And she says, well, are you neutral? And that's a signal like, I don't think you are. And before we go any further, because we got to get to the what? Following God piece.
Right.
We can't get to the following God piece until you surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not neutral. I can see that. And it's not an indictment. It's just saying you're not going to get there if you don't go to neutrality.
And that's a beautiful question that we can offer to other friends and give people permission to offer to us without taking offense.
Right.
We want to have people who are willing to help us take notice before we step out of the kingdom or when we're not neutral or anything else, right? We want people in our lives that have that ability and freedom to do that, the invitation to do that.
And why would you say that to somebody?
Because you want what's best for them. You want them walking in God's will.
Because there's no other way to do it. See, we can't skip. Well, I'm following my will, but maybe I'll consider God's will. He says, well, you can't even get to that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never hear what I have to say. Like Peter, get behind me, Satan, because you didn't have any desire to hear what I have to say at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he says, if anyone wants to come after me, you got to deny self, take up the cross and follow me. He says, there's no other way to do that.
Right.
And if I notice that somebody hasn't surrendered their will, it's like, well, you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never get to following God's will. So I'm gonna encourage you to reconsider, have you truly surrendered your will? I observe that you're not neutral.
Right.
And it's not what's wrong with you. It's not you better shape up. It's that the key is to surrender. So if that's the key, well, then let me help you get there to go surrender. By the way, surrender, we'll talk about that next time. What does it really look like?
Right, right.
And how do we know that we're there even when we're struggling with being there?
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful truth that if anyone wants to follow you, come after you, we have to deny self, release our will to yours, stand on the cross, all that you've done, and realize that that puts to death our flesh. That allows us then to follow you in the kingdom where we can hear your voice, we can understand your will, and we'll walk in the very best with power. And supernatural work will occur. And so we just pray that we'll understand that. It's not a harsh, difficult thing to do. It's rather an important thing because that's the life that you have for us is your will is better than ours. Your will is better, best and none better. And you know more than us. So why would we not? And so we just pray that we'll learn it, understand it, and we'll go deeper into understanding what it really looks like. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to continuing the conversation next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.